This hour of Cairo Nights is brought to you by Washington Energy Services.
Broadcasting live from the Carter Subaru Studios, you're listening to Cairo Nights. Happy Wednesday, y'all. I am G. Scott, the Online Trading Academy text line. You know, so you can say hi, bye, wherever you listen to the show from. 98973 is that text line. Really means the world that you listen to the show. Today, every day we do the show is a busy show. In particular, today's show, though, there is a lot. Seahawks legends at 9 o'clock. Leroy Hill, former Seattle Seahawks linebacker, will join us for Seahawks Legends. That will happen at 9 o'clock. At 8 o'clock, Amanda Knox, she will be joining us here in studio to talk about everything that she has new going on, including her new podcast. So that's going to happen at 8 o'clock. And at 7:20, I got a little situation I need to talk to you guys about. I need to call Santa Claus, and I'll explain that at 7:20. But right now, let's talk about this. This quote I saw, I was looking at the TV, and it says, blind loyalty to Donald Trump. Was it Paul Manafort, because he's guilty? It wasn't George Papadopoulos, because he's guilty. It wasn't Rich Gates, because he's guilty. It wasn't Richard Pineda, because he's guilty. Oh, that was Michael Cohen this time, because he is the guilty one right now. Another day, another former Trump associate off to prison. Today was sentencing day for Michael Cohen, President Trump's former attorney. You know, the same guy that said, hey, you know what? I'm going to take a bullet for the president. Now, he didn't flip like some pancakes. He is pleading guilty to 9 counts in federal court. CBS News correspondent Mark Lieberman is in Manhattan with the latest and the greatest on Cohen's sentencing.
Michael Cohen will be sentenced today for crimes including tax evasion, lying to Congress, and campaign finance violations. President Trump's former personal attorney has admitted to arranging payments during the 2016 election to Stormy Daniels and Karen McDougal. That was in exchange for their silence about their alleged affairs with Mr. Trump, which he denies. Court documents released last week stated that Cohen arranged the payments, quote, in coordination with and at the direction of Individual One, believed to be the president.
My dad used to always say there's two types of people in life. There you are either the nail or the hammer. Because, see, a lot of times the nails, they always get beat on by the hammer. Right. And the hammer, those are the leaders in life. The nails are usually the followers in life. And I hope that when we start teaching our kids and our children's, Drew, you have nephews, you need to tell them you want to be a leader, because you can't say, well, Uncle Drew, the reason why I did this is because my leader told me to do it.
Mm.
No, you have to take accountability for your actions at a young age. If you continue on with those things, it'll happen later on in life. You'll be sentenced to jail.
Like, How do you see Cohen as all of this? Do you see him as the hammer or the nail?
Oh, God, bless his heart. I see him and I see so many as the nail. He's the nail, right? He is someone who, there's a lot of people like Michael Cohen in life. There are people that follow people just because they have a lot of money or just because they have a lot of influence. I see it all the time. I see it every day. There is somebody right now that has that coworker at work that laughs at the boss's jokes and knowing damn well the boss's jokes ain't funny. Mm. But you just laugh and just, oh, boss, you're so funny. You're just doing that because you just want to just make sure you stay afloat. There's a lot of followers, Drew.
I'm going to go another step further with this hammer nail analogy. Like Cohen and most of the people who kind of got involved with Trump, most of them went in straight, but it's when you pulled them back out that they came out crooked.
Yeah. It's a matter of fact, we're going to be talking about Jim Jones and the Jim Jones Massacre, because that's the true crime podcast that Amanda Knox has been covering. Mm-hmm. And the question is this, and I'll ask you, and I'll kind of ask you, David, and this is a serious question. I'm not even joking. This is very serious. Yes or no, are you, Drew, better than the worst thing you've ever done in your life?
Hmm.
Are you a better person than the worst thing that you have ever done in your life? That comes from a book called Just Mercy by Brian Stevenson. It's a guy who he was on death row, mm-hmm. and he committed some crimes. And my point is that a lot of times that we more often, if somebody does something bad in life, right, you know, we usually judge that person like, man, that person is just a bad person. But at the end of the day, usually what we have done, and by the way, when I say what we have done, everybody what we have done, because some of us have gotten caught and some of us haven't. Makes sense? But our worst thing that we have done, more than likely, all of us are better than our worst thing that we've ever done. We might have done something really bad, but we might have only done it one time. In the case of Michael Cohen, here's where I don't feel sorry for a Michael Cohen. A Michael Cohen is someone, he didn't just do something bad one time, two times, three times. He ain't been straight for a long time, right? There's a lot of people in Michael Cohen's situation where they're so high up. They live in such a different world, a world in which you or I, we don't understand. It's a world of untouchables. As a matter of fact, I'm sure just like in the movie Goodfellas, where they're like, all right, I'm ready to go to jail now. That's what this is, right?
They just decide. They're just, like, you know what? Yeah, you're right. Nobody's going to come barreling through their door and slap handcuffs on them. It's going to be like, are you ready to go to prison now? Okay. Now we'll take you to prison.
Hey, Mr. Cohen, we did get your request. You want to be in New York, upstate New York. You want to be close to your family. Mm-hmm. We got that figured out for you. We got your linen. We got that figured out for you. But man, my cousin served 3.5 years in jail for 12 crack rocks.
Mm.
12.
Did he have any information on the president?
No.
I think that was probably the difference.
Man, I had a point.
I'm sure you were.
You were supposed to make me laugh.
I poured water all over on that.
All right. Well, look, I'm not. The one thing you notice I haven't done, I'm not going to grab the low hanging fruit. Some of you guys thought that I was going to take this opportunity to say, out of all of those people named, all of these people have something in common. But no, I am not going to go ahead and grab the low hanging fruit. I am not, because, hey, everybody else. Is lying, except for one man. One man is telling the truth, but all these other guys going to prison, they lying. Okay, I'll leave it at that. The Phoenix Suns. Have you guys heard about this? What's going on down there with the Phoenix Suns? Well, it could Seattle get a whole lot sunnier. From a basketball perspective, right now, that is a possibility. Here's the deal. The Phoenix Suns are currently playing in a 26-year-old arena, and like everybody else, when it starts getting old, it gets old. I mean, the last time you went to Key Arena, I'm quite sure that you probably said, ooh, Lord, it is old in here. But according to Lori Roberts of the Arizona Republic, Suns owner Robert Sarver is reportedly telling members of the Phoenix City Council, imagine that. They got some beef with their city council. Anyways, he said, look, either you guys are going to approve the $230 million for upgrade, or I'm going to take our team, the Phoenix Suns, to Seattle or Las Vegas. Right now, the Suns play at Talking Stick Resort Arena, previously known as America West Arena, and U.S. Airways Center. However, Phoenix Mayor Thelda Williams and two council members are asking for a continuance on the vote for renovation because they don't believe it wouldn't pass if they didn't get the vote. So here's the deal, man. It sounds good. That's an awesome opportunity. But I think this is what we got to understand. Got a hockey team coming up here. There's only so much sports dollars in a town, right? Like, yeah, there's some rich people here. I don't know, no doubt about that, right? But there's not many people who are like, okay, I got Seahawks season tickets. I got Sounders season tickets. I got Mariners season tickets. I got hockey season tickets. I got NBA season.
It starts adding up. And especially if you don't space out right now this is a wonderful problem to have if we had to be like, well, no, let's hold off on that NBA franchise for a while after the hockey franchises started off for a while. But I agree, because you're right. There are only so many dollars to go around. There's only so much attention and capacity that you have as a sports fan in Seattle. And I wonder who do you think is going to see a little bit of a fall off once the NHL starts in Seattle?
Here's what I've learned about Seattle. Okay, here's what I learned about two things I've learned about Seattle. The team that's not winning, nobody will go.
Correct.
And then the second thing I've learned, there's only one team that no matter what, it will be packed and 60 plus thousand in there every time. Seahawks.
It's gonna be sold out. Mm. No matter what. The Seahawks can go 4-12. They can go 11-5. It does not matter. Seahawks fans, you guys are going to the game.
Do you think that's because? I mean, obviously that's because they sampled success and they became relevant. But do you think that maybe the Mariners are just that far away from having just a couple of killer seasons where they make it into the playoffs, where at that point you don't need to kind of keep re-upping along the way to keep showing that you're still a contender, but just the product is that good that you want to go see it?
I'm going
to
answer that question right now. If I say right now, think in your head of a Mariner highlight, go. Tell me an amazing Mariner highlight you can think of.
And he doesn't play for this team anymore.
Thank you. You just went to the 95 slide again, and we're tart.
No, actually, I went earlier this year. I was thinking about Edwin Diaz, but he doesn't play for this team anymore either.
All right, here's a piece. By the way, stick around for 720 because I got to make some phone calls. Fast Ferries. The ferry service from Tacoma to Seattle could be coming up in the next 3 to 5 years. Don't tease me. I like this idea. I'm already thinking about moving to Tacoma. Cairo 7, Shelby Miller has more on this topic.
This is the way of the future.
And potentially another way to get hundreds of people from Tacoma to Seattle every day. Tacoma City Council member Ryan Mello has been pushing for a fast ferry service for more than a year.
But people are clamoring for more and more modes to get to different parts of Puget Sound. And this is what this offers.
Now, on Tuesday, Mello unveiled the city's fast ferry feasibility study. It shows the ferry could go in one of four spots in Tacoma. Mello said the fast ferry would cut down on commute times to Seattle.
According to the study, it'd take 55 minutes from 11th Street and about 45 minutes from Old Town, Point Ruston, or Point Defiance. That's compared to 62 minutes on the train and more than an hour on the bus or in the car.
As folks can see from I-5 just this morning, you know, it's getting tougher and tougher to commute on the freeways in this congested region. So the more modes to keep our economy moving, the better.
It costs the city about $40 million up front, then just under $3 million a year. Mello says it's money well spent to add another means of transportation to an area that continues to grow.
Oh, Drew, they talk about ridership at around $115,000 per year with a fare of $11 each way. Let me go ahead and do the math on that. That's Drew, help me out. That's $22 a day by five. Is that, what's that, 110 a week?
Yeah, $110 a week.
Oh, okay. Sure. I'll never do that fast again. Mm. Okay, so that's $110 a week. That's $440 a month.
Mm.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah?
Yeah, I do that.
And you're looking at you're around $5,000 a year for a commute.
Yeah, I do that.
Yeah?
Get rid of my car.
Okay.
Get rid of my insurance. I'm good.
All right.
Well, you ain't got to worry about that, but you know what I'm saying?
But
hold on. Wait a minute.
Do you have ferry insurance? Gotta get that ferry insurance.
True, man. If you make jokes, man, then I can't make my points.
That's all I know how to do. I can barely know how to talk to you.
All right. So here's the deal. What if you got a good deal on a house in Tacoma? What if you know what I'm saying? What if you and your wife had to
If you save $5,000 a year, then that would make sense. I mean, if you're looking at a reduction of what you're paying for your housing is more than $5,000, then you can easily offset that by this fast ferry.
Right. Well, I think I like the idea. I like the idea because, I mean, look, right now, I think you're getting from Tacoma to Seattle. Traffic time, I think, is a little hour and some change.
Not to mention all the mental baggage that you have to carry the whole time. Like, I mean, that's a rough drive.
It's a rough drive.
It's demoralizing.
And it's gas.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, partner, I'm waiting. All you Uber execs, Lyft execs, all whoever out there, I'm waiting for you guys to say, all right, you got a membership. Let me pay for the membership, the unlimited, Drew. Mm. Like $400-$500.
Why would an unlimited membership be $500, G?
What do you mean?
I think you just want an unlimited something, and you want to put a dollar amount with it, whether or not that's actually how much it's worth or not.
It works, man. Be like Netflix, Uber and them. Be like Netflix, and let me go ahead and pay my subscription service every single month. All right. Every day at 7:20. We're going to do this, y'all, every single day. We're going to be calling Santa. You know, with the holidays coming up and our show being a bit different from the rest, I don't think you guys know that, I like to try and inject a little bit of the Christmas spirit throughout the month. I heard a story that in the years past,
the host of Cairo Nights would actually get the real Santa on a phone to hear some requests for presents. Now, as you guys know, I got a pretty large Rolodex in my phone. It was all right, but I didn't have Santa. Ain't no Santa in there. However, I did find this little piece of paper. Found this little piece of paper stuffed in a little binder behind a little panel right here. You know, little cobwebs around there. It says Santa's home digits. Only call if it's an emergency. So I'm going to try this out. Now, while it's not necessarily an emergency, I think that if there was ever a time to try to bring in some holiday cheer, the time is now. So I'm going to give this a try. If you got kids in the car, this would be a great opportunity for you. And like I said, bring your kids in the car about 7:20 this entire time. Or if you're at home listening to the show, it's CairoRadio.com. That'll happen. So let's give this a shot a little bit. Here we go.
Oh, it's ringing.
Yeah. Okay. All right. That's cool. Answer phone.
Hello?
Hey, who is this? Hey, this is G. Scott, man. Look.
How did you get this number?
Is it a panel?
Please.
Man, this dude.
Put you on a hold?
Put you on hold? Yeah. Hey, that old loud music right there. All right, when you get back on, man, I got to really let them know I'm from, who I'm at.
Yeah, just give them, like, just kind of a quick little sketch of who you are, what the show is, and what...
Hello?
Hey, Santa. Santa. Bruh.
Did we lose him? Right. Yeah, okay, that was...
All right.
That was a good first attempt, at the very
least. That's a good first attempt.
Yeah.
That's all right. Cairo Night listeners, I'm going to try this again tomorrow. Sometimes... I'm very transparent with you guys. I ain't perfect. I don't do things right on the first time. I had the number. I tried to call, and just as an opportunity. Now you got your kids probably in the car, your nieces and nephew, your cousins and all everything, and G. Scott's going to try to use his power. Tomorrow I'm going to be a little bit better. Be a little bit better, and I have a point to this because the point is once I get that dude on the phone, and I get him on the phone, and I'm going to say, listen, man, I need you because there's I'm going to have some of you guys be able to type in some names and folks that you guys want to type in so Santa can talk to them. So that'd be that good opportunity. But, man, I can't believe he hung up in my face.
Maybe, I know.
Maybe his cell phone service is bad.
You know, maybe he doesn't get a lot of visitors. And he's just not used to new numbers. Maybe he didn't recognize the number on the caller ID.
Well, no, what he has to understand is that this is 2018. His customer service needs to be a lot better.
Oh, that's a good point. Yeah, because especially if he listens to the show, he'll know he should know that you'll walk from poor customer service.
All about that customer service.
Mm-hmm.
Remember, 8 o'clock, Amanda Knox, she will be in studio. But coming up next, you know we do it every single day. 7:30, it's time for news you can use. You got to stick around. You listen to Cairo Nights. I am G. Scott.
Time now for news you can use on Cairo Nights.
G. Scott here, y'all. Coming up at 8 o'clock, Amanda Knox will come in and she'll be in studio hanging out with me. But right now it's time for one of my favorite segments, news you could use. This one right now, I got to do stuff around the holidays because it's really important. There's a lot of deal breakers, a lot of make or break type of relationships with families that happen during this time. You guys got to be on your best behavior. Seven relationship problems that always surface around the holidays.
Ooh.
Here we go.
Mm.
Here we go. Number one, not being honest about holiday spending.
Mm. That seems like one of those things that you would feel like that sort of a victimless crime. That you would feel like, oh, what, are you upset that I spent too much money on you? But that level of deception, when it starts, it can really hang over stuff.
Well, Brother Drew, here's what happens, man. So let's say, I'm just going to take you and your wife for an example.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to be really upset if she overspends on you. The problem is that she didn't tell you what she spent on her family, on her other side of the family. Mm. So, and it's one of those things where she might have bought your nephews a little of this, but she bought her family a little of that.
Mm.
I mean, I totally 100% get this. Mm. Between plane tickets and dinners and restaurants and all those things, I totally get where, like, I really didn't tell you the whole truth about how much money was spent during the holidays. And like I said, it's no big deal when it's on you. But it can kind of get tricky mm-hmm. when it's on the in-laws, when it's on the family.
I think it's more like at this point now, I think especially with how my wife and I approach gifts and such, I think we're both afraid to spend too much money. So as a result, we have a tendency to be a little bit tight.
You were gone yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
Let me ask you a question real quick.
Since, sure.
We'll get to the, oh, don't worry. I'll get to the news you could use. Do you and your wife, like, establish a dollar amount for Christmas? Do you be like, hey, this year to spend this much?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
That's four in a row. I've asked, yesterday you weren't here, and I uh-huh. asked some folks.
Are you surprised?
No. I think what I'm saying is one, I've never done that.
Mm-hmm.
And two, I think that's a very good idea.
Yeah, it really does help out quite a bit. Because it both, I like to think of it almost like a speed limit. Where it's not so much that you have to pay, you can spend anything up to that amount, but not over. It's more that, like, that's a good ballpark to spend. If you both agree on, like, say, $75, start looking for something that adds up to $75.
Okay. Here, number two, Drew, figuring out where to celebrate without making everybody mad.
That's hard.
That is so hard.
That is the black belt of relationship.
And you know what it is? It's like, all right, so Christmas Eve, mm-hmm. I was thinking we go here,
mm-hmm.
and then especially those that are new blended getting together, mm-hmm. and then Christmas Day, and mm-hmm. you're trying to figure out the times, mm-hmm. and trying to be not so selfish, mm-hmm. But yeah, at the same time, you want to make sure you're still keeping up with your family
sure.
traditions. Yeah, that's hard, man.
You want to make sure that nobody feels slighted, that you're giving everybody equal opportunity. You don't want to play a favorite starting around the holidays.
Yep. Number three. Drinking that gets out of hand.
Mm.
Over drinking, y'all,
yeah.
can be a big problem.
A lot of people will just view the holidays as sort of like, well, this is the one time of year where I can have I can just drink with reckless abandon.
Yeah.
But
here's what you have to be careful of, Drew. It's one thing in your environment in which you might have your adult beverages. Okay, that's cool. But you just got to remember, if you're taking maybe your significant other or your friend or whoever it might be, and you're going maybe back to your family and mm-hmm. going back to places where you grew up
mm-hmm.
and where maybe you weren't accustomed to having drinks, because back then when you lived there or when you were around that family, you weren't drinking then, but now you're an adult now and now you're drinking,
mm-hmm.
you got to keep that in mind.
Mm-hmm.
You're about to be drinking alcohol in an environment in which you've never done before,
mm-hmm.
and then you're bringing other people with you. Yeah.
You know what is interesting, though, is that first year when you go from kind of being the kids' table to being one of the adults, where you have that feeling where it's like, you know what, it's not no longer just, you know, Domino's pizzas and 2 liters of Coke. Mm. You're like, you know what, I think I'll have a beer. I'll have a glass of wine.
But then you have that glass of wine and that beer still, and folks still talk to you like you're still sitting at the kids' table. That's the problem.
Well, I also was drinking wine out of my big sippy cup, so that could have been something.
Number four. Clashing holiday traditions. So let's say your family always opens presents on Christmas Eve, and your partner's family wait until Christmas morning.
Mm.
By the way, I am a total 100% open gifts on Christmas Day.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I like one present for Christmas Eve. It's kind of whets your appetite.
Little snack.
Yes, the appetizer of presents, if you will.
Little snack.
A little tiny snack, but just because it makes the next morning that much better.
Mm. All right. Number five. I think this should not be number five. It should be number one. As a matter of fact, I think it should be 1, 2, 3. I think this should be number 1 through 7.
Okay.
Dealing with your in-laws.
Yeah, that's a delicate art.
Wait a minute. Check this out. Let's find out. The Online Trading Academy text line is 989-73. Texas, if you're going to have a oh boy moment dealing with your in-laws.
Mm. The in-laws are a source of consternation and frustration for you. 98973.
If you love your in-laws.
Oh, yes, please.
Go play lottery. Oh, my goodness. And by the way, Kyra Knight listeners are very transparent. They'll text and tell the truth. Number six, having different philosophies about opening, about gifts. One person in a relationship may show their love by researching, finding, and buying the perfect gift, regardless of the amount, while the other person is more practical and think it's perfectly okay not to spend a lot of money. Mm. So, whereas you might go out and be like, man, I'm going to go get this, I'm going to spend this, and this is what it's going to take. The other person is going to be like, well, I'm going to make them a nice card, and I'll make them a nice dinner, and you're like, oh, boy. What the heck? 425 already text in. Oh, boy.
Oh, boy.
Oh, boy. The in-laws. Number seven, Drew. Finding time to connect when your schedule is hectic.
Oh, that's a good point. A lot of people will just, once the holidays roll around, they have that whole mentality of like, well, I'll see you in a month.
Yeah.
Just kind of disappear. It's like, I'm going to throw myself at all these other things and not really take time for yourself. Take time for yourself. Take time for your partner. Make sure, and at the very least, it's a great thing to kind of connect over, to be like, every once in a while, catch eyes and be like, boy, can you believe that this holiday, can you believe we're related to these people?
360 texts in, Drew, and says, we do not see my husband's family at the holidays, not surrounding ourselves with unhealthy drama.
That's a good point.
425 also, another 425 says, what if you've made love with, what if you've made love with your in-laws?
I think that's a very interesting day, I'm sure.
Wait, hold on. This is Kyra Knight, not Maury Povich.
Mm-hmm.
You just can't do that.
I don't think they have a Hallmark Special Moments ornament for that.
I always wonder what kind of music you was going to play to get up out of this segment. All right. 8 o'clock, y'all. Amanda Knox comes in. She's live in studio with us here on Kyra Knight. Coming up next, you know what time it is. It's time for Unpopular Opinion. And I already looked at it. I snuck and took a peek. I'm already irritated by what Drew has. We'll do that next. You listen to Kyra Knight. I'm G. Scott. Hey, hey, hey. Welcome back in to Kyra Knight. I'm G. Scott. I apologize about that. I started feeling the mood right there. Right now, Drew, before I start dancing too much, what's the time for, man?
Popular. You're really unpopular.
Your unpopular opinion today is that all of G's dancing is fantastic.
Yes. It's terrible.
Your unpopular opinion for today, getting dark early is a good thing.
Man, I ain't never wanted to slap you twice after unpopular opinion. But I saw this last night before bed. Did you guys know that yesterday was the darkest day on record in like the last 2 years?
The darkest
That's
day?
What they said. It was the darkest day. It went into some technical stuff, but I wasn't going that far. It was too late at night.
Got it.
Really was the darkest day.
I believe it.
Because it was overcast yesterday, raining, and then of course it got dark early. Yep. It was like really got dark.
Yeah, if you were a solar panel yesterday, you were probably thirsty at the end of the day.
Yeah. Thirsty. No, man, I don't like it dark because yesterday was a bit of a tough day for me. I need that daylight. I need that, you know what I'm saying? I need that vitamin D. I need that. Yeah. I think I've heard that taking vitamin D, that it does help.
Right. Sure.
I'm thinking about doing that.
Some people use
the happy lights.
Is that what they're called?
It's called a happy light. And you feel really good about yourself when you ask for it, too. It's like, excuse me, where are the happy lights? that amount of sunlight, vitamin D supplements are a fantastic thing to take. Once you get it kind of part of your routine.
It works?
It does work, yeah. It is definitely all about, you're right, G, it's all about your mood and your disposition. And once you have plenty of vitamin D circulating through your bloodstream, you're like, okay.
Yesterday was a rough day. I even told you before you left. I'm like, man, I'm just out of it today. Mm-hmm. I told you that. Mm-hmm. And then when I went to bed last night, I saw that on Twitter. Boom.
What do you got, Brother Frank?
Hey, I am on board with you.
Old friend.
I'm on the G train tonight. I am telling you, I am not a fan of it getting dark as early as it does. And, you know, we're not the longest day is still a week and a half away.
Mm-hmm.
December 21st. The day you want Santa to come?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We're going to do it on December 21st.
Okay, well, that day is going to be the longest day of the year.
Let me ask you.
Longest night.
Are you guys in the Christmas spirit yet?
I think I'm getting there. I'm not quite there yet.
I keep trying. I keep turning on a holiday. I keep trying to force it. I've learned
you
something.
You can't force it.
You cannot force it.
It's a good point.
It has to come. But I think what's going to happen is going to happen on Monday.
Mm-hmm. Why on Monday?
Because we know that that's essentially the last, like, this is the last
one.
Week.
Last week before.
Yeah. One, this is it. You know what I mean? I think next week we're going to be coming in, you know, singing, you know, Rudolph the Red. Okay.
Okay. Mm-hmm. No, I'm with you. I'm on board.
I know. We'll find G. David, thoughts on getting dark early?
Yeah, I'm a fan, honestly. And I'm not.
Of it getting dark early?
This is the caveat. Up until, I would say, New Year's or so. After that, those sort of final months, January and February, where it's still very dark, very early, I do find those to be pretty soul crushing. But before that, I mean, it does get me in the holiday spirit. Christmas lights come on earlier.
It's true.
I don't know. It feels cozier. You get to start a fire in the chimney a little sooner. I enjoy it.
You use the buzzword, Drews. Yeah.
That was actually going to be my citing for why I enjoy when it gets dark sooner, is then it's that much easier to go get cozy sooner. And now it's like, oh, well, it's dark outside. I might as well not leave the house. Okay, it's 5 o'clock.
There's that.
Might as well. Well, it looks like it's time for the slippers at 4:45.
Yeah, I'm looking for. But I will. Okay, how about this though?
What?
I will say that it makes work easier.
I don't feel bad about going to work.
You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Like when I'm here and I'm on the show now. Right now. If it's summertime and it's July and it's 7:50 right now, 7:52.
And it's sunny.
And it's sunny.
And warm.
I got FOMO.
We can literally look out the window here and see people having a good time.
Yeah. Don't remind me.
But not in the dark. Everybody looks miserable now.
You're right.
That's right.
You're right. They can't see
if
me.
If you can see them.
Perfect.
What are you trying to say, Frank?
It's dark.
What are you trying to say?
Stop
Frank?
It.
What are you
stop
trying to say, Frank?
This is not a white thing.
Dark.
Oh, my God. I can't believe you went
Brother
there.
Frank.
He went there.
How can you go
Hey,
there?
Coming up next, Amanda Knox comes in studio. Wait till you find out what she's got going on. You listen to the Cairo Nights, y'all. I'm G. Scott.